Don't blink, you might miss something good. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that really rocks out. He's such a cheapskate, he narrates his own audiobooks. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, Drew McMillan, you clever, clever guy, you. I know if I do another 3-2-1 to get rid of that, you're going to forget to get rid of it. And it'll still be there. So I'm just going to keep on going. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. You probably heard a couple of dings over there. That was my buddy Randy pushing his buttons. He might have pushed the wrong button and caused something to react in a way that he hadn't expected. He still looks kind of shocked at what happened that way. He's looking around like, what could that have been? Anyway, welcome to this episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, based on the book, The Medicare for the Lazy Man, The Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. The 2021 edition is out. It has a big red 2021 on the cover. It's for sale on Amazon. It's got a paperback version, reasonably priced at $8. It's got a Kindle version for less than $4. It's got an audiobook version, which is around $6 and change, I think. I don't really have anything to do with the pricing. They don't consult me. They just pick a price and go with it. So I hope you'll find the price to be reasonable if you're in the market for a Medicare guide. And that's what this book is, trying to simplify your encounter with Medicare, answer most of the questions most people are going to have. It's aimed at people who are not destitute and people who are not infirm, just average people. I think you'll find that your encounter with Medicare will be a rewarding one after having read my book or contacted me to help you with the acquisition of your Medicare coverages. Then you're going to be able to look back and say, you know, that was the right thing to do. It wasn't stressful. It was kind of funny because he tells jokes a lot, and I'm all finished, maybe for the rest of my life. So that's the goal here, to make everybody happy that they had Medicare for the Lazy Man assist them through the Medicare process. So what we're doing today is desk cleaning. And for that purpose, I have asked Randy Carson to take over the engineering duties and in order to help me through the desk cleaning process. Hello, Randy. How are things?
Doug, they're good. They're good. They're really good. I just thought I would point out to you, as well as the audience at large, that I'm really, really happy you have the big boy mic back.
Well, I'm glad you can tell the improvement, because otherwise I'm going to ask for my money back from this $400 microphone. Should sound a lot better than that little piece of crap they put in the computer.
Well, I know it on personal knowledge that mic in your laptop probably cost somebody about $4.
And that was in Chinese money, right? For yuan.
that was in some sort of Chinese money. But this big boy mic you got, I mean, I think it's a combination of the big boy mic as well as your change of location to this room. I kid you not, this room, the acoustics are very good.
Well, I'm never leaving the room then. Once you started telling me that, I took it to heart and I moved in here. I moved all my valuables in here. I'm going to have my electric train, my stuffed animals, and all my car models. And I'm never leaving this room then. Because you tell me that it has a stronger access to the Wi-Fi, which is hard for me to understand.
Yeah, for those of you in the audience, I have a gauge that I can tell how strong Doug's signal is coming through from out there in the hinterlands of Illinois. And it's like, now this is a trucker's term, but it's absolutely 4x4 the whole time.
All righty. Well, I'm going to stay with it then. I'll never podcast anywhere else. And to have my microphone work is really kind of spooky, because remember when we tried it out and I found that it did not work, it was mysterious. Now that it does work, there's no explicable reason for that. it fixed itself, and we know that things don't fix themselves. So I'm expecting something to go wrong again.
That never happens. If somebody says, hey, it fixed itself, I go, no, it didn't. I'm running the other way.
Well, I'll tell you what else is going to fix itself is this pile of garbage that I've got. I brought this stuff back from Arizona. The big leather mail bag, it was heavy. It was a very heavy item to carry to get in the car. I had to take it into the hotel room every night so that just in case the car was stolen, that the mail would still be intact. And so I got it back here to Illinois, and it is now waiting for me to go through it all. And so I thought what we would do is continue what we did last time, which is mail bag items. So here's a guy named Ryan wrote in, and he said, good morning, Douglas. He sent me some links. That's stupid. You people cannot enjoy the links that he sent. I'll click on those later on. Don't know what he's showing me yet. It has something to do with prescription drug plans, but I know what it is. I know what this is. I threw it in the pile because a few weeks ago I mentioned that there is a Medicare discount drug plan called Go-Go Meds. Now, last year sometime, I was asked for my opinion of GoodRx. And I said, well, I read an article in which discount drug plans, discount drug cards, including GoodRx, mostly a bunch of scam, not really worth it, probably dubious in origin and the sales process and blah, 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 blah. And after that episode aired, my wife looked at me and said, you're a bonehead, because GoodRx is fantastic. And she told me a couple of reasons. So I had to do another podcast episode apologizing for my misunderstanding of the benefits of GoodRx. So after hearing that, our buddy Steve, Mr. Curious, the man with the million questions, said, he was listening to an episode, and he heard me talk about a competitor of GoodRx called Go-Go Meds. And I said, I know nothing about Go-Go Meds, but I got a direct mail email from them offering a $5 discount and special code and all these wonderful benefits for early adopters. And so I talked about this probably 2 weeks ago. By the time you hear this episode, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so Steve jumped on it with both feet. He went out and examined Go-Go Meds every which way from Sunday and reported back that Go-Go Meds was not quite ready for prime time. The drugs he was often most interested in were not really in their formulary, and he didn't see any strengths. He said maybe in the future they'll get better, but right now Go-Go Meds is not really worth spending a lot of time on. Well, this was maybe several weeks ago. And so what I'm holding now in my hands is a letter. I clicked on Go-Go Meds and they said, we'll send you the $5 gift certificate. And I said, okay, send me that. And it took them over a month to send me that $5 gift certificate. And I'm with Steve here. Probably it's going to improve, maybe, or it'll go out of business because of the competition from better drug discount cards. But right now, Go-Go Meds is in need of some improvement. So my microphone's going to pick up all that phlegm in my throat. I don't know where that came from. We had some storms blow through here the other night, and that might be the cause of it. So here's a piece of mail from a guy named Doug. I thought I was going googly-eyed. I said, well, I didn't write myself, did I? Oh, yeah, it's a different Doug. So he says, hello, Doug. My wife started collecting Social Security earlier this year and will turn 65 in November. I believe Social Security will automatically enroll her in Part A and Part B of Medicare. Is there a form we need to complete to delay Part B since she will be on my employer's health insurance for the next couple of years? And I said, hi, Doug. When your wife receives the letter notifying her, geez, and I misspelled the word of. It's a two-letter word, O-F, and I misspelled it. So it's here's what it says. When your wife receives the letter notifying her off the Part B enrollment instead of the Part B enrollment. Anyway, when she gets that letter, there will also be a reply card enclosed that she can return requesting that they delay enrollment until she requests to participate in Part B at some time in the future. If your current insurance is not an HSA type of plan with tax advantage deposits, I would encourage her to accept the enrollment in Part A, as it will make things a little simpler whenever she decides to enroll in Part B. But frankly, the reply card, she pops that in the mail saying, I don't want Part B, I'll let you know when I do. That's the solution to the problem of the Social Security Administration automatically enrolling somebody who is on Social Security. And so that was one of the easier questions that I'm likely to get anytime soon. And then what do we have here? We've got a guy named Jim. Jim said, I love listening to the podcast. Ah, that's music to my ears, music to Randy's ears. He said, my interest is in understanding Medicare supplement policies and changing state residences. Currently, my wife and I live in Minnesota. I will be 63 this summer, and my wife will be 64 this fall. She intends to retire next summer and could slide into Medicare life. I intend to work until 65 and then retire and obtain Medicare. We are currently considering moving permanently and becoming Texas full-time residents. Initially, I was thinking of moving after I retire, but I became concerned about getting supplemental policies and then moving to a different state. I know that a Minnesota policy should work in Texas, but for other reasons, I do not want to have anything Minnesotan attached to my name. Ah, here's kind of a man after my own heart, I think. And Randy's also, Randy's nodding vigorously, saying, yep, this guy, you know, we're all simpatico here. Anyway, he says, if I did get Minnesota policies before we moved to Texas, would or should we get a policy in Texas? Do we have a choice? Especially if we intend to make Texas our permanent resident. When you obtain a Medicare supplement policy, do you have to prove you are a resident of that state? For example, maybe I should get a rental property in Texas first and then get the Medicare supplement. The driver in this case is the pre-existing condition situation. My wife's health history is fine. Mine is a bit more checkered. I had surgery a dozen years ago and fine from that, but I had a little skin cancer spot taken off 2 years ago and nothing since. I understand that when you get your first Medicare supplement policy, pre-existing conditions do not occur. However, but after that, it's a gray area. It's only gray in his mind. I'll explain it to him in a few moments. As a side note, I am fine now. Any insight would be greatly appreciated. This information could be a strong factor in deciding retirement options. Thanks, Jim. So I replied to Jim, thanks for writing, Jim. It is mildly ironic that I read your letter in Shamrock, Texas, after traveling through the still lockdown New Mexico. Texas is a breath of fresh air. I believe I have good news for you. No rigorous proof will be required to qualify for Medicare supplement in a state other than Minnesota. What you need is a street address from which mail will be forwarded to you rather than returned to the sender. I spent much of my youth in the sun and so have had many things removed. None were melanoma, so that is a much less problematic situation for me and probably for you. I will send you a medical questionnaire from my favorite company after I come off the road tonight so that you can get a flavor of the types of conditions that scare the medical underwriters. I like your plan overall and encourage you to forge ahead. So then on Sunday, May 30th, 2021, Jim said to me, thanks for the very prompt response. I just want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. Let's say that when my wife turns 65 next year, she gets a Medicare supplement policy in Minnesota. Then the following year, we make the trek to Texas. I turn 65 then. Could my wife get a Texas Medicare supplement policy without pre-existing conditions? Or do I need to get a street address in Texas first before she turns 65 and then have it forwarded to me in Minnesota so she/we should get a Texas policy right when we turn 65, just trying to see what the options are. And I said, hi, Jim, option number 2 is the correct one. In order to get a Medicare supplement without that Minnesota flavor and without having to answer any questions about her medical history, your wife should buy a Medicare supplement in another state with a valid address that is not a PO box. That state does not have to be Texas necessarily. It could be Iowa or the Dakotas if you want one of the plans that are standard in Texas and the other 46 states. The other possibility is to have her enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan, which offers a guaranteed opportunity to switch to a Medicare supplement plan during the first 12 months. If you can time things correctly, that may be a solution, although it makes me grind my teeth to suggest it. Just for your edification, I have attached a couple of forms from my favorite Medicare supplement carrier, United American. On page 3 of the complete application, you will find the medical questions, which is fairly benign in its recognition of the fact that we are not dealing with youngsters. Also attached is a supplement devised for use in Texas, which should provide a general idea of who is eligible for guaranteed issue. Thanks again for writing, and let me know whenever I can be of further help. And we kept going at it. He said, Doug, here's another idea. What if I have my wife added to my work health insurance when she retires next year? Then in the following fall, she could apply for at least the Part A. And then 1 year later, when I retire, we could both obtain the Medicare supplement policies. And I said, that is pure genius. I wish I had thought of that. And he says, one last follow-up. What exact things should my wife do when she turns 65 and under my company health plan? Most likely, we will obtain Medicare supplement policies about 9 months to a year later. And the answer to that was, assuming you're not contributing to an HSA, she might want to enroll in Part A and then relax and enjoy the prospect of a new life in Texas. She won't be compelled to do a thing until you throw her off of your plan. Actually, 2 to 3 months before that event, if I am fortunate enough to be allowed to act as your agent, I will suggest the time to start applying for Medicare Part B, selecting the first of your retirement month as the start date. A month or so later, we can do the application for the insurance plans with the same start date specified and send them to the insurance companies. At a time of your choosing, you will have you'll have to give notice to your employer's plan about your departure. After that, everything will change over on your specified date, and that will take care of it. Every year after that, we might want to run a prescription drug plan comparison to make sure your plans are still the most economical for you. How does that sound? And if Jim responded, I didn't put it in this stack of correspondence, but I'm sure it was the answer he was looking for. How are we doing time-wise?
It's gone.
Oh, boy. Time goes faster and faster. The older you get, have you ever noticed that? You used to spend half your life waiting for Christmas morning to arrive.
Oh, yeah. Or 4th of July in our case, because, you know, our little town that I was born and raised in had a 4th of July celebration, and they brought in a carnival and all that stuff. Now, when I was a kid, I thought that carnival was something akin to Disneyland.
But yeah.
Then I've gone back later and looked at it. It's one broken down old Ferris wheel and a merry-go-round, okay?
And is there a mule that you can ride on?
You can ride the mules around, you know, this little thing, and the mule's looking, he's looking like, just shoot me, would you?
But when you're a kid, that's also magical. That's wonderful.
Oh, I know.
Well, my grandparents took me to Disneyland in California when I was a little kid. It was like the second year it was open, and it rained that day. So it was still kind of primitive. So half of the rides were closed because they weren't prepared to be open in the rain. And what I did get to do was to ride next to the driver of the boat on the African safari boat.
Oh, and cool.
Then the guy wouldn't let me steer the boat, which I'm sure was on a track under the water, but he had a pistol. He had a pistol and he let me shoot at the alligators and elephants and stuff like that.
All right.
Now that was 1956 ish. I don't think today they're encouraging kids to grab the guy's pistol and start blasting away at the animals, the wildlife.
Well, you know, I've told you this before because, you know, you and I grew up in a certainly a different area and a different era.
Yeah.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I got my first rifle when I was 7.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And this was a real deal.
We were not allowed to have BB guns because you're going to shoot your eye out. You're going to shoot your eye out with a BB gun. Dangerous, break windows. Well, of course, when I was 12, I got a 22.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. And you then know, I've got some, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say the way in my family, I was the oldest out of 5 kids. We're all about 4 years apart. Every kid got it better than me. My parents are so tired of dealing with kids that when my brother came along, they just gave him a BB gun when he asked for it, just so he'd shut up. And of course, the first thing he did was he shot a window.
Oh, not good. Not good.
It didn't have to be fixed right away because it was a Pella, dual pane window. So the BB went through one pane of glass, but not the other one. But it was just indicative of the fact that they could have done the same thing for me, but no. I couldn't have a car. They were going to drive me everywhere. We cannot allow you to have a car. You'll go out and kill yourself. By the time my younger sisters came around, they bought them their own car.
Here, so that here, my take, parents could take this car. I'm tired of toting you around.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't want to have to go get you someplace. So just get yourself home somehow. So that's all I was going to say. Go ahead. We're wrapping things up.
Well, you know what today is?
I thought today this was. It's June 22nd. It's going to
yes,
be
it
the
is.
Shorter, the shortest day of the after the solstice.
Well, that's true. That wasn't what I had in mind, but Medicare for the Lazy Man is certainly a huge supporter of the United States military.
Absolutely.
And I thought I would point out that today, June 22nd, 1944, what did President Roosevelt do?
June 22nd. Now, obviously, June 6th was D-Day. June 22nd, the invasions of Italy, I don't know if they were still on the beaches or if they was this when Rome was liberated? Was Rome liberated in, now, I hate that buzzer. Can you get a more pleasant sounding buzzer? We use it so much.
Okay, I will. So President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed the GI Bill.
For a Democrat.
Yeah.
Oh, he signed
the
Well,
he signed the GI Bill this day in 1944. And that was a huge, huge thing. New Deal. Great deal for most of the military. And I thought that was particularly notable today because I'm all about the military.
Well, good for you. I'm all about the military too. And even though I never served, I was in Air Force ROTC. And so my father served enough for both of me. Both of me.
Yes.
He went through a couple wars. And his father went through 2 wars. And I went through 0 wars. But yet I would have, if and asked to, I would have gone, but they didn't want me. So,
well, anyway. I was in the lottery, and for good luck or bad luck, I'm not sure which it was eventually, but my number didn't come up. But I was in the basket, and if it would have come up, I would have gone.
Well, I was in the first lottery. All numbers came up, but they had to go in a certain order. So number 1, that guy, was toast. And I was number 355 out of 366. So I was close enough to the end that I could have accomplished my goal of finishing college so that I could go through OCS. I wanted to go in as an officer. I expected to go. I just didn't want to go in as a grunt.
Yeah. You know, I totally understand that. Well, we need to thank our audience today, Doug. They have been very, very attentive. There was no extraneous noise. We didn't have to shush anybody. None of that. They're just an awesome group of people. Thank you for joining us. You could have been many different places, and you weren't. You were here listening to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And Mr. Jones has all the right answers in that particular vertical arena. So having said that, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. And what else are you today?
I am, I'm not earning anything from the GI Bill. So I'm the CEO of Medicare for the Lazy Man. Have we said that yet?
No, that's true. Okay, absolutely.
Good.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. And we're looking forward to seeing you again next time.
Bye-bye.